Bear Podcast
642.
You should know that number by now. 6 inches.
You can handle 6 inches.
Six inches is the best.
Is it really?
Yes. More than 7 inches is a waste of sex. So.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Where's Spicy Nan? Where's the wisdom?
That's right. And that's real 6 inches, not Craigslist 6 inches.
Not Craigslist.
And not bare 411 inches.
Yeah, not bare 411 inches.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. This is Nard.
And this is Ray.
Joining us today is Sinan. Hello, Sinan.
Hello, Nard.
Well, it's good to have you here. And we've been chatting for the past few weeks, and we're glad to have you in the show and to talk about stuff later. But that is not a dick, okay? That's a microphone. But you can... Don't play with it. I'll still have to use that later.
Do you know where that windbreaker's been?
Oh, no, I don't want to know about that.
You never know whose mouth that's been in.
Oh, that's right. So many people have used that already.
Really? And they licked it too?
Well, I don't know about licking. They would put their mouths in it, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so welcome, guys, to episode 342. And this is the election day. Today's election day. Yes.
Did you vote?
Yes, I did vote. Yes.
And was this the first time for you to vote?
It's my first time as a citizen of the United States. It's my first time to vote, and it's a good feeling.
And you check straight Republican and hit enter.
No, right? I didn't. I still did it one by one, but still voted.
Green Party, click.
No, I didn't do it. I didn't do it by the party.
Those three people gotta vote.
But we're not, since we're in Texas, I could just say that I voted for Bill White, okay? So because I think he's doing a good job. All right, so you voted today, right?
Yes.
Ray? Okay.
If you don't vote, you can't bitch.
That's right. I just have the ticket to bitch because I voted.
That's right.
So I went early this morning, very early this morning, and it was good. I was the only one in the line, and... It's computerized, so it's good. It's just I don't have to.
I'll be glad when they just send you a damn email and you click on the link in the email, enter a code, and then you just vote online and be done with it instead of having to go here and get checked in and stand there in line and listen to all the people yap about this, that, and the other. And I was on my phone texting you when I was in line this afternoon, and they're like, "You got to put your phone away. You can't be using that in here."
Oh, really? You got my text message while you're in the line? Okay.
Yeah. So I guess they thought I had an iPhone app that, you know, to make the voter thing do jack up or something.
That's kind of dangerous if you have an iPhone app. People can intercept it, I guess. But today's election day. I hope you listeners out there have voted and exercise your right to vote.
I will say this. While I was voting, out of all the people in there, probably the youngest person was 30.
Oh, really?
30-ish looking. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any really young people voting, which is kind of scary because that's the people you need to vote.
Okay. But are there a lot of teenagers, though?
Well, I mean, you have to be 18 to vote.
Well, I mean, 18
but
and above.
But usually the 18 to 30 category,
mm-hmm.
and that age range, that's the ones that are hard to get to the voting booth. Usually by the time they're in their 30s and stuff, they'll usually start voting.
Yeah.
Or at least turn out for the regular vote.
Yeah. I got a little bit of Facebook reminders that you should vote. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I got Grindr reminders. I got Scruff reminders about voting today. I got Facebook reminders about voting today. So.
Mm-hmm. So, listeners out there, I hope you guys voted. It'd be great. If you have any funny stories about voting, I don't know, people who are. Campaigning. You're not supposed to campaign in...
Not within so many feet.
So many feet, right? Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm new to this because I voted last in the Philippines and this is my first time here in the U.S., so I'm glad.
Was that the last time? What's her name? Was Imelda? Was
Imelda? No, 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 no. It was not Imelda. But I think it was Gloria Macapagal, or even farther. I know I didn't vote for Joseph Estrada, but yeah, it's been a long time. I can't remember anymore. But that's about 98, 97. Can't remember. But yeah, I this is pretty much my second time to vote. This is my first time here in the U.S. Anyway, okay, so let's move on. It's actually Halloween. We just finished Halloween. Sinan, did you see any? Did you go out this weekend anywhere?
I went to a party, house party, my friends Jeff and Chris.
Oh, okay. So how was that? I mean, what did you wear any costume?
Yes, I did.
Here. There you go.
What did you wear?
What did you wear?
What was the lack of or what you were wearing?
Lack of? No t-shirt, of course. Shirtless.
Shirtless. There you go.
I think I was the only shirtless guy among the crowd.
What? That's your costume, shirtless?
No, I was Pyramid Head from Silent Hill.
Oh.
Sorry, if you do play video games or...
You were who?
Silent Hill. It's a video game.
Oh, yeah. Silent Hill.
Pyramid Hill. The guy with the pyramid head.
Oh, cool.
Oh.
So you had the big, like...
Yeah, pictures.
The big...
I didn't do the sword. I mean, yeah. The headpiece was big enough for people to go, like, what the hell was that? And I'm going, oh,
did you have one of the... I can't remember. Does he have a leather harness on? Or is it, like, leather?
No, nothing. He was shirtless, and he had a kind of, like, a skirt apron full of...
I saw that in New Orleans. Somebody was doing that. So that's what it is. Yeah. It's he's got a big sword, big...
That's what he had, yes.
Yeah, a big...
Big, huge sword, and he rapes women in the game, and he rips up their skin, and he kills them.
Man, is this the newest version of Silent Hill? I don't ever remember him doing that.
Yeah, you see that in the video, the movie, too. It's the same thing. That's what he does. In the video game, you see him doing that a little bit. It's kind of a bit gory. In the movie, very few scenes where you see him trying to kill the main characters, the girls. And yeah, he walks with these little things that can be like big, huge bugs.
Yeah,
I don't know what they were. He was gory. I just love the character from the game. But I never thought about making the whole costume until 2 years ago. And last year, I didn't do the whole... Yep. Halloween thing. So officially, this is my first Halloween in the States.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, I've only been here 14 months, so it was exciting.
It was exciting.
And see people dressed up. Very interesting.
What's the weirdest you've seen this weekend?
Weirdest as in
or not necessarily weirdest, but let's say something that stuck into your mind that when you saw you were impressed or whatever.
A lot of them were interesting. They had a contest for the best costume, and actually one of our friends, Dominic, was dressed up as Jack from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was tall. Like he had everything.
To be tall.
And he had something. I don't know what he was wearing, but they were not platform shoes. And then the headpiece that he had, he made it by himself, which was the best part.
Oh, yeah, because it's kind of tattered and it's
a great
detail,
costume. Actually, when I saw him first standing in the corner, I thought it might be a statue that the guys got. A few minutes later, he was moving and I got scared. Like, seriously, didn't know that the guy was that distance from me was a real human being.
Yeah,
I just loved it. And then one of our friends, Nick, was dressed up as Charles Manson.
Mm-hmm.
Very provocative for me. He was as simple as his costume was, but the way he looked like and his attitude was scary. And then Will, whom I couldn't figure out who was the character was, but one of the guys' names Will, was really nice. He made makeup and the costume. I mean, most of them.
Was he a zombie or a vampire? What was he?
Ghosty, kind of, with a hood, black hood on his head.
Oh, okay.
Check it out on Facebook.
Okay. I'll grab some pictures then. You have pictures on Facebook there, too, right?
Not, I didn't take any, but everyone there had.
You don't have your... You were in a silent outfit? Silent Hill outfit?
Yes. But the problem is, when I had the whole helmet on my head, no one can hear me talking because it's made of cardboard.
Okay.
So I had to pull it to the back a little bit and go say hi and then pull it down to explain who I was.
No, God, you have to explain.
And then every time someone passes by and kicks, oh, I'm sorry, what is that?
Well, see, now you need, you know, you can modify it so people can hear you.
Yeah.
Yes, now I know the trick.
Cut off ears or something.
Actually, on both sides, you have to put something like a mesh, something with holes.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he had. And when I looked online and saw the instructions, by a British guy on YouTube doing the whole piece, and that's how I made mine.
Mm-hmm.
Cardboard. It's just
homemade.
But it was very nice and provocative.
You were Silent Hill. Okay.
Pyramid Head.
Pyramid Head. That's the name. Okay, Pyramid Head. How about you, Ray? Did you see any interesting costumes this weekend?
Well, where I was, there wasn't anybody in costume except for the characters at the theme park.
At the theme park, okay.
Yeah, because they don't let you come in costume. They forbid it.
Really?
Well, see, that's the whole deal. Then you wouldn't know who was actually working there.
That's the reason why.
And there was a lot of drunk, crazy enough people there out of costume that you didn't need any in costume to help it out anymore. So,
well, I'm quite sure it's pretty obvious because zombies don't really, or vampires maybe, in a theme park, they're not too popular.
Well, they
don't. Or are they?
Theme park like Haunted House?
I was at Universal Studios this weekend for Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
And they do the big Halloween thing where they take the park and turn it into a big Halloween deal. And they had like 8 haunted houses, and then sections of the park are decorated and set up with people dressed up in it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty cool. So, but we'll talk about that next episode.
Yeah,
we're going to do a whole detail thing.
I'm excited to hear that.
Universal Studios, and we can talk about Harry Potter. And
Orlando trip. We can talk about
and
that.
The Hulk and all that good stuff.
So. Okay. Well, we'll serve that for the next episode. As for me, I was dressed up like a cocksucker.
And that's what different now? Like?
I don't know. Just wearing regular clothes. Yes, that was my costume last weekend. No, actually, I was in New Orleans for Voodoo Fest. It's actually a concert weekend. Friday night, we watched Weezer. And Saturday, we saw Ozzy Osbourne. So that was really the highlight of the weekend.
Did he bite any bat's heads off?
He did not bite any bat heads, no.
Any baby's heads?
No. But he was shooting foam to the audience in front. So he's got this big hose and shooting foam and shoots himself.
That's what
Sharon
said.
Huh?
That's what Sharon said.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He likes shooting foam on Sharon's. But yeah, it was a good concert. It looks like he was really having fun. Ozzy Osbourne, what is it? He was okay on concerts, but if you see him on TV, he's not...
I'm telling you, when he's on that stage, he's a totally different person. As soon as he's off that stage, it's like comatose again.
Yep.
And the mumbling and all that, and you can't understand what he's saying. And he's having to, you know, I mean, he's famous for this text commercial where he's texting people because the guy at the coffee shop because the guy can't understand what he's saying.
I know. But at the concert, it was okay. He spoke okay. People understand him. But, you know, he's religious. Ozzy Osbourne is religious because he keeps saying, God bless you all. God bless you all, motherfuckers. So that's how he's greeting everyone. Well, at least he's very nice to the audience.
And, it worked for Billy Graham, you know.
Huh?
It worked for Billy Graham, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Does he say, God bless you, motherfuckers, too? Yeah, it's the first time I heard him say something like that, Ozzy Osbourne. So, yeah, it's good. If you guys have Ozzy Osbourne in your town, just go watch it because it's a big spectacle.
What was the cool dress-up costumes that you saw in New Orleans? Because I'm sure it was happening.
Oh, yeah. The whole weekend is really great because of... yeah, it's Halloween weekend. It's also the Saints game. And there's it's really crazy. It's Voodoo Fest. There's a Saints game and the Saints won. And it's Halloween. The whole Bourbon Street is really packed that weekend. But the best I've seen, well, the most common I've seen was Beetlejuice. For some reason, people are into Beetlejuice. And Mike keeps saying Beetlejuice 3 times. And sure enough, beside me would be a Beetlejuice. So also in the on the concert, people are also in costume. So have you guys heard of Deadmau5? Is the DJ... And he wears some kind of a Mickey Mouse head.
Yes.
Yeah. He performed there. He was also, he's a DJ. He performed there at the Voodoo Fest. And he had, and people were wearing, their costumes are Deadmau5 heads. You know, it's round and then just Mickey Mouse ears. It was really cool because you can see from afar he was playing. He's, DJing, how DJs do it. And he's wearing his Mickey Mouse head, his mouse head. And then there's LCD. Or LED screen on his face, and it was Well, he's singing along to the music, and it's all digital on the face, or like LED lights, and it was awesome. And you know, it's Dead Mouse. It's all dance music. So, yeah.
Well, you know, they were pushing big time that people were buying them at Universal Studios. They had the T-shirts, and then they had these LED like screens on them. So you'd have like an image and like music or noise. It would like equalizer bars.
Equalizer, yeah.
You could see them. And they had one that was like a skull. And then depending on the music, the flame would come around the head and stuff.
Oh, that'd
so that
be
much
cool.
Difference. And for that night only, they were selling them for $39.95. They're regularly $49.95. But that night, they were making you a deal with a 2-year warranty for $39.95.
2-year warranty?
Yeah.
Actually, our friend John Palima, John, he was wearing same shirt, which came from Think Geek. It's actually equalizers too. The real equalizer.
Well, this is the same thing, equalizer, but you get it like different stuff. Like there was one American flag, all these different things. So it was pretty cool.
It's unique.
If I had $40 to blow, I'd have probably bought one.
Yeah. I wouldn't buy one of those. It's too expensive. Have you seen those?
Yes, I've seen them.
Those, cool. It goes along with the music.
You watch Universal Studios and you didn't have even $40 to buy a t-shirt.
Well, I bought t-shirts, but I wasn't going to spend $40 on one t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. So what was that video on your Facebook with this guy dancing?
Oh, let me see.
Where did that come from?
Which one? I can't remember right now.
The guy shaking his butt?
Oh, okay. There's this guy named Akram, and I met him. Actually, I know him from a long time ago. He was really chubby back then, and then he lost a lot of weight. And then he was doing the bounce. It's actually you bend over and you bounce your butt. You have to have the right butt to do it. And it just bounces your butt. You sing along. You dance along with the music.
I'm sure it's not the first time he's done that.
Yeah, I'm sure so. I'm sure it is. I'll probably post it on the website. Guys, check out bearpodcast.com. I'll put the video that I posted. It's entertaining, I should say. And people were asking about it, and he wanted it to be posted online, so I posted it online. So I'll post it on bearpodcast.com. Okay, so yeah, that's Halloween, and it's really fun. I got to see Weezer also. Got some videos out of that too. And it's a whole weekend of really music. Sunday wasn't really too good. We got to see Macy Gray. You don't like Macy Gray, Ray?
No.
Why not? You don't like her music?
Yeah, just never been a big fan of hers.
Oh, really? We just watched probably one or two songs, and that's pretty much it. So went home and back Monday morning, and we're here. And then we got busy. We took a break. We're supposed to record last night, Ray, but you know, we just came
probably
from our vacation.
Because I've been passed out of sleep on you.
I bet.
Recording.
Yeah. So, we're doing it today here at Hans Payan Art Gallery. Oh, by the way, we are here at the Hans Payan Art Gallery. We're recording here live in studio again. And it's actually, yeah, we're in studio with Sinan here. Okay, so let's go over with Sinan's stories right now. The reason why we have Sinan here in the show, because I was talking to him a week ago. Was it a week ago?
Yes, last week.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday, the one before.
Yeah. We were talking about his adventure coming here. So, okay. First of all, are there gays in Iraq?
Do you think heterosexuals are everywhere?
Or according to...
Well, your president said that there's not.
No, Iran. That's the Iranian president.
Iranian president. Okay.
But I knew this is going to come up. Seriously. The word
Iran. Iraq.
Iran or Persian or Persia. One of them has to come like within 5 minutes of a conversation with someone who lives here. It's very interesting.
Oh, really?
I'll explain that later.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay.
It must... People here get me confused with someone from Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the, you know... It's Iraq and Iran. They sound the same. Written the same also. But it's a huge, massive difference between both cultures. Persians are not Arabs. If you go to ethnicity, they would be considered Middle East, but they're not Arabs. The language is totally the opposite. From from different roots. But again, because of Islam, that's what happened. They got close to each other. That's how they got connected. It's interesting when I meet someone here for the last 14 months, When I say I'm Iraqi, they go like, so do you speak Farsi? Or this, you speak Persian? Or until last week, I talked to someone who said, until now, I knew that you were Persian. And it's very interesting because the U.S. had been in Iraq for 7 years.
And they don't know the difference.
No one here knows what Baghdad is. And I'm talking about guys like us. I mean, I'm not talking about guys I meet in the streets or people at the grocery store. Most of the people I talk to, when I say Iraqi, they say, do you speak Persian? Or I say, I'm from Baghdad and where that is. And it's just a bit sad. I mean,
so what is the dialect or what is the language that you...
It's Arabic.
But it's Arabic. It's really...
Definitely it's Arabic. But the Middle East, all the Arab nations, they have different dialects everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
None of them is exactly the same as the other. Exception is the ones in the Gulf region, like Saudi and Bahrain and Qatar and Kuwait. They have similarities. But again, they have differences with the dialect. Iraqis have a very specific dialect.
So you speak Arabic?
I do, yes.
Yes, okay.
And Turkish.
You're and Turkish. Yes. Ooh.
I used to speak a little Farsi, and I forgot because there's no practice.
There's no practice. Have you been practicing with Shahram once in a while, though?
Just a few words here and there. We don't need to.
Oh, okay. But that's the advantage of having your own language sometimes, because you can talk in code. Right, with me, with my Filipino friends, when we talk about when we like talking about a hot guy or hot bear.
Yeah, but we always know when you're all doing that.
Oh, okay.
Because you always go at the end of it.
Yes, that's true. That's
how you recognize Filipino.
Any Asian. They all sit there and laugh.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the laugh at the end?
Yeah. You never seen the stereotypical. Asian girl says something and then just covers her face and just laughs.
We love you.
Not
long
all
time.
Of us do that.
We love you long time.
We love you long time. No, I don't. No, we don't do that. We just we just get on with
business. They love you short time and then they want their money and kick you out.
Right. Okay. So going back to Iraq, then you're from Baghdad.
I am. Yeah.
How long did you live there?
How big is Baghdad?
How big is it?
Compared to a U.S. city, what would be about the same equivalent size?
It's interesting, actually. Well, you have the loop in here, so that's why I cannot...
Is Houston bigger?
When you talk about the two loops, possibly. But, I've never been all around Baghdad, to be honest.
Okay.
I used to go to specific areas. I mean, regarding school, which is very close to home. Or I go shopping, or
how many people live there? Do you know estimate? Because there's what, 4 million in Houston?
It's more in Baghdad.
Yeah. It's more, okay.
So it's got to be.
The density is very high. We don't have what we have in here in Houston. Like, you don't get the houses very close to each other. They're not very close in everywhere in here in Houston. But their houses nearby, very very close. Again, it's very. It's not. The city generally is not big into high-rise buildings or flats and apartments.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about houses. But again, the outskirts and the suburbs, you have houses that are a little bit close to each other, not very much attached like the others.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, I think, the whole population of Iraq used to be 18 million, officially to the government, for the whole country, 18 million. I think Baghdad has about 5.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so it's bigger than Houston.
Yeah.
At least density-wise. So.
Density.
It's very dense, yeah.
It's flat like Houston. It's very hot, but dry heat.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very hot.
A couple of years ago, I have a friend who joined me in the show here on Bear Podcast. His name is Mario. And I don't know if you know him. But he was in the show before talking about he used to work in Iraq.
And he lives in Jordan now.
He lives in Jordan now.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, why are you?
See, there are only two gays there, and they've met each other.
Yes, that's right. The only two gays in the world.
But I didn't meet him back there. I met him somewhere else.
Maybe in
I met him in Turkey.
In Turkey, okay.
Yes. I mean, he's from here, and who doesn't know Mario?
Yeah.
I hope you're listening now.
Oh, he might be listening. I'll let him listen. He's out of the country, so. But anyway, okay. So let's talk about. Gay life in Baghdad. How is it? How is gay life there? Probably none or very hidden. Are you afraid or what?
Okay, these are many questions. Okay. I'll answer all of them.
All right.
One is I was not very active in the scene. Mm-hmm. And when I say there was a scene, late 70s, early 90s until 1988, there was a huge, massive scene with the openings. You have bathhouses. It's called hammam.
Hammams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what you have in the Middle East, even in Turkey, which is popular with. It's just men go there. It's not officially gay. You go there, if you're lucky, you hook up with someone. So you get bisexual men or married gay guys who go there just for a quick fun. And of course, the typical gay guys that you see in the street, like Flaming Queens, we have those everywhere. Mm-hmm. So that was a place.
Flaming Queens, okay.
The second place was the cinemas, movie theaters.
Oh.
Small, little, dodgy, and dark with old, straight 70s porn. So you go there.
Straight porn, though.
Straight porn.
Straight porn, but the gay.
Hours okay. and hours and hours and hours of porn. But no one goes there for the sake of porn, just to go and hook up. You don't see women going there.
Mm-hmm.
They're in very small areas. Other working class area with a lot of working men, like construction workers, painters, or we can go and fix your car, get some diesel and stuff. So these are the types that you can see hanging out in that area. Or he's in the city center, and that was very huge, mm-hmm. with an open market. So just like a flea market that's open every day. Mm-hmm. Friday was the biggest day where people go and hang out from early in the morning in that flea market. It's in downtown Baghdad. That's the best place to go and cruise. You go as an excuse to go and look for things. There's eye candy. You go and take a look at someone. Uh-huh. You take him out to the bathhouse, which is a walking distance, or to the movie theater. And if you are lucky to live alone by your own, which is odd.
It's odd to be a gay guy living alone.
No, it's odd to be a single guy to be single and living alone, because there'll be a big question mark. Why would you be single and living on your own? That's what happens. So people cannot have the liberty to go anywhere else and have sex with men, because they're not alone in their houses. They live with their families. So the only place is bathhouse, a park.
Or a theater.
Exactly.
Oh,
that's
wow.
what used to happen. That continued when the 80s, they started to have the nightclubs. And it was invaded at the later hours by the gays.
Invaded?
Invaded, like typically.
By cops? By
gays.
By gays.
But invaded by gays. Okay.
Yeah. One, two step, and slowly, and then suddenly all of them started to go there. By that time, I didn't go. I had no influence. But friends used to tell me stories. And it was very clear that I was a teenager. My dad used to tell me, don't go to that neighborhood. It was bad.
Bad because it's...
I just didn't know what was happening. And so years later, I figured out, it was a gay neighborhood. Like, the gay hangout.
And how did your dad know about that?
Does your dad know you? Oh, later, okay. Suspense, okay.
So, yeah, by the 90s, it was okay. Until 1992, all these places were gone, closed. Saddam had the new law regarding alcohol. He cannot serve alcohol in the bar. So all the bars were closed. All of them. If you want to buy alcohol, you have to buy it from a specific stores only owned by Christians. Muslims are not allowed to own any place where they sell liquor.
That sucks.
And you can buy it and go to your house or a closed place and drink. If you get caught drinking in public, you'll be taken to prison. Bars were closed, nightclubs were closed, nowhere else to go. So they turned into somewhere else, which is called cafes. And the cafe is a typical place where you can go and see men playing chess or domino or blackgammon. And they drink a lot of tea. These places used to have beer in it. Not anymore. They changed into tea only and juice.
This was during Saddam's time.
During Saddam's.
So Saddam was
all on the river bank. Mm-hmm. So you sit on the side and the river is just right beside you. And next to you are the places where you can go and get free live fish. They get the fish from the water and they fish it and they cook it and you can eat it over there. So it's kind of like eat and drink and play and hook up.
And hook up.
So the last
Don't
part
forget.
Was, so started, gay men started to go to these places instead of going to the bars and hook up there. That is the 90s. By the late 90s, it started to fade away.
Fade away.
Because it was strict. Saddam has his own Islamic revolution. He was calling himself the leader of Islam. So it was a bit difficult for people just to go out and expose their
freedom as the way they had to do it before in the 80s and 80s and 70s. Not until 1998. I don't know what happened, but it was just a boom of exposure to a different Western culture because of the DVD came out. CDs, people started to...
DVD porn.
It was just normal
TV. Just normal DVDs.
The story is we had only two channels, two TV channels. We were not allowed to have satellite. So if you have cable or satellite, they will confiscate it and you will be in prison for years.
What?
Yes. So you have no exposure to the outside world whatsoever. And then you had the embargo from the United Nations. We had no import and export. So nothing comes in and nothing goes out. So we're not exposed. All we got fed up with was Saddam feeding us his own ideas and ideology. By the late 90s, his son got full control and custody of TV. So he had his own TV channel. And then we started to get CDs on movies, and the DVD came later after that. That was a good exposure for people to see what's going on outside. And you know, you can see Leonardo DiCaprio, and there was this big little 18-year-old
queen. That was Titanic at that time.
Yes.
Titanic.
1996.
Yeah.
1997.
Yeah.
So, you know, DiCaprio comes out with his blonde hair, smooth skin, and of course, a little 19-year-old guy who happens to be gay. So you see the imitation. A little bit of an imitation. Plucked eyebrows, a little bit of a long hair, tight jeans, tight T-shirts, effeminate walk. We started to see these guys in the streets. By 2000, it was a huge boom. You see a lot of gay guys walking to the streets, and no one says a word.
Wow.
So there was tolerance in the late 2000s for gay guys. There was some kind of tolerance. To 2001, you can go to places where you would say, oh, I think tonight it's gay night. It's not officially a gay night, but there was tolerance for gay guys to go there. And I'm not talking about guys like us. I'm talking about super effeminate men. Super feminine.
Oh, really?
Like hair and makeup.
Oh, as in drag?
Not drag. It's not loud makeup, but you see like eyeshadow and lipsticks.
Oh, they would put makeup
nails. And the T-shirts are very flamey.
Okay.
Sleeveless T-shirts with florals and pink and red. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Typical twink.
The one you're wearing now.
Oh, no, it's...
Okay, I'm kidding.
Trying to hide my boobies.
Okay. All right. Okay, go on. So.
Shut up. I'm very important.
Okay. Of course. Okay, so that was
all before the war.
Yeah.
Oh, let's be more specific. The last war. With the last war, everything changed. Totally changed.
Mm-hmm.
No security, no police, no authority, no government, nothing. So you have the right to do whatever you want. So anyone who was homophobic, hateful, had a grudge against anyone, found an excuse to go and do any kind of harm they wanted to do, be it bashing, killing, kidnapping, beheading. If you were a part of a certain social group, part of a certain religious group, political, even race, sexuality, any kind of those will be a reason for you to kill or being killed. So, simply, you are an enemy with anyone who was around you. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't
guess. This was when Saddam was removed?
Yes. That was a side effect.
Oh, my God. So
that was the negative fact about
you would think that. You would think that when he left, things would be better, but it didn't.
That was it.
Well, see, that's the whole thing. You might have a dictator, but they keep the status quo when they're a dictator. When they're gone, everything that's been locked up all these years and that the dictator's kept under control, they're free to do whatever they want to. So you can get the right wing in there taking over and doing whatever they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the dictator might not have been as right wing as they were, there's always somebody more stronger to the right than they were. So
he's exactly right. That was what happened. This is my opinion and everyone's opinion who knows about things that make sense. We were not against the war. I mean, we don't like wars. But it should have been other ways take him out. No one wanted him there. He had been out of the country sooner or later. Someone had to find a way to get him out of there and punish him. But the whole coming in without closing all the borders and doing things that within the city limits, inside the places where you can have all the oil, all the industry, or all the army, and leaving anything out exposed to anyone from outside the country, that was a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's no control.
There was a good point about him. He'd control the entire country, but not for a specific good reason. For his own bad reasons, because he was a dictator. That said, we were protected. We didn't get people coming from other countries trying to do things inside within the country, because the security system was extremely, extremely good. His intelligence was extremely good, because we felt protected. We felt safe from the outside, but we didn't feel safe from the inside, from within, because of him, his people, his party, and his regime. But we did not hear about anything called bombing, except it was in the 70s once and in the 80s once. And I was not familiar with that because I was young. But when I grew older, I did not hear anything about bombings. I didn't hear anything about gays being killed. It was a very rare occasion. Once in a blue moon, I would see a woman wearing a full burqa. Now you go there, everyone has to wear the scarf, be it Muslim or not. And yeah, you have to be covered all over. And then the beard. The beard was significant to religious men. Like the beard I just had, the longer one, I cannot carry it when I was back home. It would be a big question mark. Why would he have this long, thick beard? It's only for men of a certain religion, or like religious men from the mosque or the church.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, you'd say, it's not liberal in a way, but they were more open-minded and trying to be exposed to something different.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a disadvantage after the war. I mean, let's say I didn't like my neighbor. My neighbor happens to be from the south of Iraq, and he's illiterate. So mm-hmm. I'll find excuses to have a fight with him. I have a gun in the house that I got because I was with the army. That's an example. I kept it in the house. I didn't give it to anyone. The war was over. I hate my neighbor. I start provoke him, do something to make him angry. Once he starts cussing me, I'll just grab the gun and shoot him in the head, and that's it. No police will come after me. No authority will ask me why I did that. That was it. And that's been the case since 2003. It's been 7 years now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So even during the occupation, it got worse in some aspects.
Yes. At the beginning of the occupation, it was good. We felt safe, very secured, until August 2003, which is 5 months after the whole war started. The little young guy, the clerk, called Muqtada Sadr, he's a Shia Muslim, and he's very young, and he started to rebel against the troops, the U.S. troops. And he was talking with a very sharp tone. He had a big, huge support for his people, because there were people who'd been abused, brutally abused by Saddam's regime. They were from the south. They were killed. There were massacres. People just mass killings in the south of Iraq. That was their chance to rise and say, that's our chance to take over the country. And because we are Shia and the Sunni Muslims were in control of the country for the last 35 years, now we want to be in charge. It's our place. So he didn't start peacefully by peace talks or something. He became very aggressive. And that's where the bombing started. Shia started to bomb Sunni places. Sunni started to bomb Shia places. And both of them, Muslims, started against Christians. So you see people getting killed because they're just simply non-Muslims. So mm-hmm. churches started to close. Mosques been bombed. One of the biggest mosques, it's a holy shrine for the Shia all over the world, had been totally bombed, demolished. Just a few pieces left of it. Mm-hmm. It was made of gold, and the gold was all over the ground.
I hate it when that happens. It's you know, culture and everything.
Yeah,
all
it's
destroyed
sectarian
like that.
War. That's what you can call it.
Yeah. So when did you leave there?
2006.
And what were you doing back then? What sort of occupation you were doing then?
Finance.
You were finance. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I did accounting for a while. I did administrative assistant for a while.
Mm-hmm.
All the office jobs, personal assistant. It's a field that I liked, human resources. People person, so I like to talk with people. Mm-hmm. Just don't lock me inside a room and let me do the work. No, I like to interact. Mm-hmm. So by 2003, it was people like me. It was our chance to finally meet someone who is from the West.
Ah.
You were called the West. Everyone in the Middle East calls America the West. So it was a chance for everyone like us who speaks English, who has the interest to know about other cultures. Very good opportunity to go and find a job. And everyone was hiring. They needed translators and interpreters.
And there
I
you
did
are.
Not apply for an
interpreter. Oh, you didn't? Okay.
I didn't want to. But by the time I see the troops walking by and driving by and in their Humvees, I talk to everyone like in a nice way. And they're all nice. By 2003, I quit my job and I applied. And the first job I got, I started to work for a year.
Mm-hmm.
We were subcontractors for two main contractors from the United States. One of our contractors was doing construction and he was an Italian. Within a year, I continued and then I got a better job with a Texas-based company. No name is going to be mentioned now. Anyway.
Yeah, you don't have to mention anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the main work they had there was construction, building camps for the U.S. troops, and training the Iraqi police. So it was a security company.
Oh, okay.
American-based. What happened is I got employed by them. The third day after I got the job, a phone call went to my family. They said, if you don't tell your son to quit his job, we will kidnap him.
What?
Yes, we didn't take it seriously, although we used to hear stories about people getting kidnapped. That's 2004. People getting kidnapped, death threats and everything. But a week later after that, a letter came under the door, put it on the computer, long letter that says, we're warning you for the second time, there won't be a third time. We will kidnap him. Third time will be beheading. He has to quit his job. So the letter came into the house. My family got panicked. The first thing I did, I grabbed it. I went to my boss and I said, that's what happened. He said, you're not going home. You're staying at the compound where we live. So I was one of the very few Iraqi locals who had the advantage of living in the American compound, being with Americans all the time, talking with them, eating. So I kind of like lived the American life over there.
Oh, okay.
Kind of became like an expat. So it was another exposure. Forget the movies, what you hear about the movies and stuff, about the West.
Oh.
So I got exposed. And the biggest majority of the people whom I used to work with were people from the South. Like from, I had a lot of from Georgia, Alabama, Texas, and Louisiana.
So you had a bunch of bubbles.
Exactly. And so I was exposed to fixing and y'all.
Fixing and y'all. So you're getting lasted. The sudden twang now, huh? All of a sudden.
It lasted for a while. It's like, what do you mean by fixing? What do you mean by it's fixing? What does y'all mean?
Y'all.
And then he has it.
So that's why you're y'all. Yeah. Ray's got this very strong
twang.
Sudden twang. So, okay. So fast forward. You're here now in the U.S. How do you like it so far? Ooh, I can't.
I love it, of course.
You love it. Okay.
Yeah, I worked hard to be here. It's a lot of work. A lot of work. Okay. I couldn't even imagine I would be here someday, but I knew it. I was like, always, I'm going to be there someday, but it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know it's going to happen after like all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And doing the whole escape procedure and stuff. It's difficult. I don't have doubts. Like, do I regret coming here? Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It just feels like home. Do I like it in Houston? That's another case.
Oh, really? You would rather be in another city? Wait a second. Speak softly. Tread softly, I mean. So what's... You would rather be in another city? What city do you want to live in?
Okay, I'm 38. So for the last 37 years, I'm always in a city that's pedestrian friendly. I walk a lot. I don't drive. And I have no intentions of getting a car and drive.
Mm-hmm.
So it means I'm dead in Houston. Yeah. I have no existence.
In Houston, you're screwed because there is no...
If you don't drive in Houston, no one like... You'll be judged about the car you're driving
Texas.
Here.
Yeah.
But again, it's the way it's built. Mm-hmm. I'm not judging people. But the city had been built, the state had been built, not to be pedestrian friendly. But again, there are so many ways to build and modify a city and make it suitable for people who can walk, whom are unable to drive a car, who have eye issues maybe, can't see well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about automatic cars. So
what do you say? New York,
San Francisco, Chicago, L.A.
No. Boston.
Boston. Those are easy places to commute around.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But you go to the other side, which is you pay more for living there.
Oh, yeah. That's the problem, though.
But it's kind of like
it's a trade-off.
Yeah.
It's equal. If you pay taxes for your car and you pay for the gas and everything and parking, if you don't have a car, calculate these expenses and take them and add them to your rent and lease where the city that you will live in does not require you to have a car. I think it's going to be equal, maybe a little bit expensive. But in other aspects, let's go out and eat here. It will be very expensive to go and dine out the same way we do. But if it's going to be in New York, like it would be like too expensive.
Yeah. We should do it the same way we do, Ray. We get coupons from our receipts.
That's right. We get
and eat at Dickies.
And eat at Dickies. That's right.
Okay, I want to know about that.
Oh, no. Dickies. Tell me about Ray.
Well, since I have been financially challenged the last couple of years, I've started clipping coupons and using coupons and stuff. And on the Kroger receipts, on the back of them, they have all these discounts for stuff. And I noticed one was like for Dickies, the barbecue place, that you could buy one sandwich and a drink and two drinks and get another sandwich free. So we used that tonight.
Oh.
And it's very yummy. I thought you were available tonight, so you could join us. But you said just come after 7:30.
Because I ate, and then I got here, and 30 minutes you guys came. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You already ate.
Yeah. So I already had plans.
You had a date.
No.
No, you didn't have a date. Are you dating someone right now?
No.
No.
Are you hooking up regularly?
Nope.
Are you regular?
Okay.
Don't answer that. No.
Intimidating, so no one hooks up with me.
How about online profiles? Do you have such a thing?
Well, of course you know. That's why you're asking me.
So people can know.
I do have profiles.
Okay, so what's your profile? So people can message you and say something to you. If not, I can just pass it off to you if people email me.
That's way better.
Yeah. That's way better?
To you, yes.
Well, if they look hard, they can find you on certain sites.
Oh, yeah, they can.
I'm on Bear411.
Yeah, they can find you. Yeah.
From the way I look, people can identify me being different.
Okay.
And it says Middle East.
So just look for the Persian on Bear411.
Not Persian. See? Ah, Ray.
Excuse me. Oh, that's right. Well, I'm thinking about his buddy, Persian Bear.
Yeah. We're thinking about the other guy, but we're thinking about Sinan. So... people can really refer to you as Iraqi. Yes. Iraqi. So we say Iraqi. You're Iraqi. Okay. You're Iraqi 4. No, Iraqi 5. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
So I have a quick question. Back to being in the U.S. camps. What was gay life like there during the occupation?
Nothing.
There was nothing? Because see, from the American perspective, I've heard a bunch of stories about stuff that was going on there.
Okay, that's the deal. I used to work and live with civilians. I didn't work and live with the army.
Oh.
So what used to happen there, normal life, you see. I think were only three gay guys in the whole compound whom were out. I was the only Iraqi, well known by 6,000 employees, that I was the gay guy.
Everybody knows you're gay.
Everybody knew.
Oh, my God.
I was out. Gay. I felt comfortable. The second guy was Australian. The third guy was South African. The other Americans, we didn't know about them. Possibly because they didn't want to jeopardize their jobs, losing it working overseas.
Yes.
So it was because it was affiliated with the army.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of connected to don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
Within the compounds where the U.S. Army was, trust me, all of my friends, they had a lot of fun. I'm talking about my Iraqi friends. Huh. They all. The one who worked at the airport, they had a lot of fun. Actually, I talked to a few guys online by the time I was in Baghdad. They were Americans, lived at the airport. You don't see their faces. The profiles were all faceless. Mm-hmm. But you talk with them.
It's kind of like Grindr.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Grindr.
It's kind of like Grindr.
Yeah, they just
have. It's the hookup thing on the iPhone.
Yeah.
And it's usually all these headless profiles.
Just profiles.
What doesn't make sense. But back there, yes, that answers your question. I mean, in some place where I worked and lived, there was no action, nothing. And actually, I didn't care about it. I was enjoying my time there with all the risk.
with all the kidnappings and killings inside the compound where I lived.
Did your family know you were gay?
It's also don't ask, don't tell. Oh, okay. I mean, yes, I'm sure they know, but we don't talk about
they
it.
They know by now.
Well, you're 38 years old and you're not married.
Single, the eldest.
Eldest.
If you are 24, graduate, you're done with the army, the first thing you do is just go and find yourself a wife. If you don't find yourself a wife, your family finds yourself a wife. It depends from which family you come from. Some force you to marry your cousin. That's the first thing they go to.
Oh.
Your cousin. And if not,
so it's like the South.
Yeah, yes, that's hot. No, I'm kidding. No, it's not. No, I'm sorry.
Or you can go to the neighbor or like relatives or friends. Or if you would know someone from work and you can get married to her. But if you're like over 30, that's a huge big question mark. Why is he single? So I'm like 38, the eldest of four, not married, never had a girlfriend, never spoke of a woman who I've been intimate with in my entire life.
Your virgin.
All I talk about is just men, and my family had only seen me with men. Ironically, they were all bears. All, exception once was my best friend for 20 years, who's a chaser.
Ah, okay.
That's it. The rest were all...
They're all bears.
Bears, yeah.
Nice. Are they Turkish bears?
Iraqi bears, of course.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not the ones you see on TV, no.
Must be hot.
Short, little, stocky.
Oh.
Fuzzballs.
Fuzzballs. Anyway, guys, so let me see. Oh, almost an hour here. So... Okay, do you have any plans to go back to Iraq?
No.
Are you
scared? This is home.
This is home now.
It's home.
You really moved out, and you're really home.
Yes, I came here because I knew it was home. It didn't feel like home there. I'm not trying to get rid of my roots, but it didn't feel like home. And home is where you make it, home.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel like it.
Because here you can wear drag anytime you want. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I can perform in my drag show anytime I want to. Please, do I look like a drag queen?
No, but you do dress up and put on quite a show. Cause I've seen you all decked out with the mohawk. And
oh, that's right. You're wearing a mohawk today.
Sorry, where?
I've seen you decked out before with the mohawk.
Oh, we did the whole Rise of March. Is that what you mean?
No, I'm not talking about drag. I'm talking about you used with the mohawk and...
Gel your hair.
Yes, not now.
Not now.
Not now, because you shed it all short, but you used to have like a tall mohawk.
Yes, I had a mohawk.
Actually, that's the first time I met you. You were wearing a mohawk.
If I remember, I think you had on a lot of leather.
Punk Iraqi. Nice.
Yeah. I don't identify myself with any kind of group. So I hang out with the bears, but I'm not into bears only. I wear leather, but I'm not into leathermen only. I'm not... punk, but I like a lot of punk fetish and stuff. So
you're not a drag queen, but you like a lot of drag stuff.
So why do you insist?
I'm kidding. I'm just going with the pattern that you're going.
There is a pink boa in my bed.
So oh, there you go. Okay.
Anyway.
I'm kidding.
He just doesn't have a sash yet.
You need a sash.
Yeah, this is one of the things I don't want.
Okay.
Yeah. Sash.
Me neither. I don't like, I don't know, sash queens. Sash. It's just... not my preference. But anyway, we better wrap this up. It's getting late. We're doing this on a Tuesday night, and actually it's Glee night, so we have to watch Glee later. Yeah. So we're going to wrap this up, and we'd like to thank Sinan here for joining us in the show,
telling us the story. Really enjoyed it.
Maybe next time we could have you again to tell more stories about hammams.
Well, next time is going to be about a Turkish bath and Turkish men.
There you go. This
and
is always
Turkish
a good
wrestling.
Time. Oh, there you go. We can do that. We can do that next time.
We'll have to watch Steam first, and you can tell us how much of it's true and how much of it's just bullshit.
You should watch Steam. Steam first. Steam. Okay.
You've never seen the movie. It's about a Turkish bath.
Is it a porn movie?
I think I've seen that before.
No, it's not.
No,
a
it's
porn
not.
Movie.
It's just guys and.
It's about this guy that...
hammam.
In a hammam.
It's
called hammam. Oh, I know the movie.
Well, here it's called Steam. It might be called hammam over there.
Okay. It's not an American movie.
No.
Yes, no, it's not.
Yes, I know which movie you're talking about.
Okay. Ooh. Okay.
Yes, of course.
How many times did you jerk off on it? A lot?
None.
I guess it wasn't that hot enough for you. Okay, so...
Well, see, I thought the two guys in the movie were hot, so...
Oh, really?
Of course, chasers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that wraps up. Thank you again, Sinan. So how can people contact you? Just email us through the show, and I could forward it to you. Is that how it is?
What, do you want my email now?
How about your Bear 411? Can you say your account name? No, you can't. Oh, he's so shy. Can you talk in code? No, it's not. Okay, we'll just... If you guys have any comments to Sinan, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com so I can forward it to him. Facebook you, okay. Yes. So what's your Facebook.com/? There you go, see?
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Easy.
All right. I'll put links on the website so people can link to you.
Please do.
All right, so thank you everyone for listening. If you have any comments, leave your emails to show@bearpodcast.com or you can email me and Ray individually, nard@bearpodcast.com.
Or ray@bearpodcast.com. Or you can call the phone line at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. I'll get it out in a minute. I'm still recovering for the weekend. So,
oh, that's right.
So leave us a message and we'll play your voice comments on the show.
Yeah, we have some messages too. And we'll probably read that on the next episode when Ray talks about his trip to Orlando.
Potter.
Okay, so go to the official website at bearpodcast.com, subscribe via iTunes, and follow us on MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will catch you guys next week. Many wolves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear. Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear.